You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
That's us let off the leash, Craig. Hello, 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 everyone watching. Welcome to the Scottish Rugby Podcast. We are slightly early tonight due to some other sporting stuff happening. It might surprise you to know that we also we're not just rugby fans. It might surprise some folks to know this, but we also like other things that Scotland play. And so we are we're moving the podcast slightly earlier tonight to accommodate Scotland's football endeavours against Ukraine tonight. Joining me tonight on the podcast, Craig. Welcome, Craig.
Hello, all. How are we doing?
I think everyone is doing grand on this fine Wednesday night. Thursday, if you're listening to this on the podcast. If you're listening to it any later than that, where have you been? Come back and join us. Get there earlier. Come on. Just get it downloaded. After our antics on, was it OnlyFans or on the, it was on the actual podcast last weekend. Last week, wasn't it, Craig? That had some of our fans laughing.
Yeah, we had we did a Patreon only special last week, and it was we've kind of been you and I have been busy on upsetting people then, and then we've been on the Scrum of the Earth earlier on this week, and we'll probably have upset a few people at that point as well. So yeah, we try our best.
Do you know, that's the thing? See if you're good at something, keep doing it. And I think we have a talent for upsetting people, Craig. So I think we are here. Hopefully we're not upset anyone tonight. So anyone that's joining us tonight, drop us a wee message, say hello. We'll give you a wee shout out. Craig's rightly mentioned the Patreon, which was the kind of exclusive pod last week. If you so endeavour, you can go to patreon.com/ScottishRugbyPodcast, pay your £3 a month to get exclusive content, including last week's episode. You also get lots of sweary words because you get our Hands in the Ruck section, which, if anyone's a long-term follower of the pod, they'll know is a long-standing feature, but I can assure you it's worth every penny of your £3 a month, because there is some ridiculously hot takes get aired in there. So, you know, get over to patreon.com/ScottishRugbyPodcast and get yourself signed up. £3 a month. If you're feeling incredibly generous and you want to support the podcast, you can pay £5 a month. You can get yourself into the upper tier and get your name shouted out on the podcast. But other than that, £3 a month gets you into the Richie Vernon Thunderdome. Which, I mean, who wouldn't want to be in the Richie Vernon Thunderdome?
No, well, you know, it's one of those things. I ended up, I was in the Richie Vernon Thunderdome, and now I'm actually part of the VIP. So I've got, I'll have to have a word with Cammy, actually, because I pay my fiver on the...
Have you not had a shout-out?
So I don't know if I remember getting my shout-out or not.
Right,
so
well, wait a second. Let's stop a second, right? So so I just want to do a big shout-out to the members of the Doogie Donnelly VIP Lounge, including Craig Manson, who has paid his £5 a month and is now a member of that exclusive club. So thank you, Craig, for your support of the podcast, and I hope you're with us for a long time to come. Oh, look, there's Craig.
Awesome, you can't get rid of me now.
Exactly, that's it, yeah. You paid your money, so here you are. You're stuck. But no, any way that you want to support the blog, the pod, so obviously the Scottish Rugby Podcast is affiliated with the Scottish Rugby blog. Please get over there as well and check out some of the articles that get written over there. There's some really, really good stuff pops up. It hasn't been that active recently, but there's a lot of writing takes place on there, particularly during the season. So please head over, check out some articles, and you might even find that you quite enjoy some of the writing you've written a bit, Craig, haven't you?
Yeah. I think, as you were going to say, there's a lot of really good writing in, and there's the odd article from me as well.
Very self-deprecating nonsense. Despite our differences of opinion quite often with regards to Blair Kinghorn at 10, I really enjoyed your writing, so... That's not true. And if you Google John Anderson rugby, you will get me on Scottish Rugby Blog as your first hit. So just as an aside,
amazing,
which is pretty cool. Yeah. So right on with the program. Hello. We're going to have a quiet one tonight. So hello, Ryan Cabain. Welcome to the show, mate. I know you very well. You are one of my friends from a long time ago. Great to see you here. Ryan is a Patreon subscriber and gave us a wee bit of feedback last time out, Craig, on our OnlyFans. They say it was absolutely brilliant. So he loved Loved our episode. He checks out quite a lot of our content as well, which is great. So welcome, Ryan. Great to have you along. We tonight, we've got a couple of things on the agenda tonight. We're going to keep this one short and sweet for the football, but we are talking quarterfinals. It is getting to knockout rugby time. It is crunch time in the URC JZ Championship. Glasgow and Edinburgh inexplicably have qualified for the quarterfinals. I say inexplicably. I may be meaning the Glasgow side of that, Craig, but we'll come to that in a sec.
Yeah, we'll come to that after the news, I guess, and we'll have a discussion about many things about Glasgow and Edinburgh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, yes. Well, shall we touch on the news just now? Now, I often struggle with the news because there's often news comes out of the big house that apparently does not make my ears. Apparently, I ignore it. So, Craig, is there any interesting news come from Edinburgh this week?
Well, there's interesting news come from HQ. There's also interesting news come from Edinburgh. There's an interesting signing. And there's also a rumoured signing for Glasgow that has been doing the rounds as well, which is quite interesting to talk
about.
Why
don't we start with your confirmed signing? So you've signed... I'll leave it to you, buddy. You can bring this.
No, it's no bother. We've signed Wes Goosen from the Hurricanes. So... quite a signing. I think it's going to be really interesting. He's a fullback wing, or they've been playing him a fullback wing, but he's also known as a centre as well. So that's an interesting. Some really good clips of him that have been shared around on social media. And obviously, we're losing Moyano after a very short stay at the Capital. So I'm sure he'll be coming into help fill up the space that Moyano leaves. So yeah, really interesting signing. It's one of those ones. It's almost a Glasgow Warriors signing of bringing someone across from Super Rugby. So
it reminds me a lot of Sean Maitland actually when he came over.
Obviously,
Wes Goosen is slightly older than Sean Maitland.
Yep.
And we don't believe Scott's qualified.
No. This is purely. I think he's looking for a bit of adventure, which he's going to find in Edinburgh.
Which he certainly will find in Edinburgh. Yep. Aye. We can both agree on that, Craig.
Also, he said he's in his interviews that he's really attracted by the style of play that Edinburgh have started to play like, and he's looking forward to the challenge. So yeah, really interesting signing. I'm quite nervous and nervously excited about it.
I remember when we used to hear those things about Glasgow. I remember when players used to say, I'm really excited to join Glasgow because of the style of play they play. You know what? It's a massive, massive statement for the way that Mike Blair has had Edinburgh playing this year. Cracking player, 65 appearances for the Hurricanes. So it's not like he's been there or thereabouts for a long, long time, and you know, I think he's a very, very classy operator. And ultimately, I didn't know Moyano was going. Actually, where's he off to?
Nobody knows at this point in time.
That's surprising.
It was announced. Where was it? We had obviously a series of people leaving.
He was
announced on the list, and it was kind of snuck in just. Almost a last minute kind of, they put up pictures of all the players.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, there's Ben Toulis going, yeah, there's Jimmy Johnson's retiring. And, hang on a minute, that's Moyano. Where the hell is he going?
Moyano's been absolutely dynamite for you this year.
He has been a great player
really
for us.
Really surprising. I would suggest if there's been no announcement on where he's going, that would suggest France. Because tends to be rules in this in France, which you have to rule. Yeah, but anyway, I think that's a huge loss for Edinburgh, actually. And I genuinely, that's news to me tonight. So I'm very surprised at that. And I thought he's done really well for you this year. Him and
really
Buffelli in particular have been massive standouts. Got a wee comment in from Sam here. Do you think Goosen, Graham and Hoyland seem like very similar players? Yes, but also I would say that Goosen and Graham are significantly better players than Hoyland. So,
Well, you know, I think you would probably class Goosen and Darcy together, but Damien Hoyland is slight. He's an in a similar vein than Darcy, a very very diminutive, but also very very strong. Got a good turn of pace, and also he is the medical tape manufacturer's best friend because he does seem to use a lot of it. So, but I think Hoyland unfortunately has to come to his aid when you're talking about him not being similar to Darcy, he has been injured. He's been very unlucky with injuries over time. And actually, I think he probably would have far more caps for Edinburgh if he hadn't gone on with had the problems with injuries. And also, I think he'd have a few caps for Scotland as well.
I totally agree. I always really like the cut of Damien Hoyland's jib when he's playing. I think he's a very honest player. Does what he does really, really well.
Yeah.
And whisper it, he's the sort of player that if Glasgow signed him, I'd be really pleased about it.
Yeah.
He's an honest, hardworking boy who's going to just really put himself out there. So, yeah, I mean, I think Goosen's it's a bit of a statement signing for you, and I really hope he goes well. Glasgow have not necessarily had the best outcomes from signing New Zealand. Well, New Zealand players in general. I would probably say Sean Maitland and Callum Gibbons are probably two of the only ones who've really stood out from our side. So I think but you guys have obviously, you've got a pedigree in this as well, right back to Todd Blackadder. So I think you will probably be okay. Very good signing. Interesting to see as well that the SRU checkbook has still very much got some pages left in it. and I think we might come to that in a second, young man.
Certainly, we might be talking about that as well.
Yeah, so any other news for the Capital? What's going on?
For the Capital, I think there's a couple of wee bits of news about Claire Cruikshank. She's been signed up to be part of the Scotland Women coaching squad.
Fab.
Claire, who is, I think she's got 5 or 6 caps for Scotland, has been incredibly, what's the word? Incredibly knowledgeable coach. She's worked through Edinburgh Uni, made Edinburgh Uni the squad that it is, and then she's been involved with, I think, Japan as well, Japan's women as well, and now she's back to Scotland. So it's really good to hear that Claire's coming back over, and she's been involved with Scotland women. And also, just to lead on from that, there's been an announcement that they are up, that the SRU are launching a new, they're basically turning the or amending the women's national game within Scotland, all of the club teams, and they're changing the leagues around a little bit. So it's going to be an interesting over the next few weeks. We're going to see more and more information coming out about because of the influx of women's rugby, and more teams are coming along. They're changing the setup of the leagues, and they're splitting up National One eventually in the next 2 years. They're going to take National One into a regional style league as well. So it's going to be exciting times, lots and lots of new women's teams coming out, and lots more hopefully that will start increasing the player pool for Scotland international women as well. So
I think it's clear, like we've talked about this on the podcast before, Craig, that women's rugby is clearly on the up, and women's teams are popping up everywhere, and that in itself is an amazing statement of intent, but it now has to be backed by hard bucks.
Yeah,
to really, like, you know, there's been plenty of situations where sports have almost like kind of come out of nowhere, and you know, rugby has done that in a lot of ways, in that, like, Scottish women's rugby, the guys who've been representing it, and, you know, guys like yourself who've been really emphasising it at club level, have done an amazing job, but you've done it in spite of the challenges that you're facing. And now it's about really investing, really delivering that hard money that's going to actually make the... It shouldn't even be a question that this is a sport in Scotland. It shouldn't be a question, but it still is. And ultimately, that's down to the governing body to put their hand in their pocket, which they clearly have money in their pocket, let's be honest, because they're finding plenty of money elsewhere. So they need to put their hand in the pocket and make sure that women's rugby is appropriately funded, as we've said so many times.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But, you know, we're basically like shouting in the wind, really, with this. We're continuing to do so, but we will continue to do so because it's so important to the growth of the game.
Very much so, very much so. So we're going to really look forward to, I'm looking forward to seeing the new structure and seeing how it's going to operate over the next season.
It'd be really interesting to see what they've come up with. So shall we take the cancelled ScotRail service to Glasgow Central and head over our way?
Aye, absolutely.
Yeah. I thought you might want to. Yeah. So you guys are having fun over your side. You're signing All Blacks, you know, but whatevs. Right, so...
But you're signing one of the most beautiful men in rugby.
Yeah, so the rumour...
Hasn't been confirmed yet, yeah.
It hasn't been confirmed yet because I think they're probably waiting for the fans' absolute ire to die off. So, Glasgow, according to Rob Palmer in The Times, Glasgow will be signing Alan Dell, Scottish international prop, British and Irish Lion, no less. Alan Dell, most beautiful man in world rugby, trademark. Glasgow are not short of a loose head. They probably could use a development loose head because they've let Tom Lambert go, who had looked very good, then got injured, and then Danny Wilson inexplicably said, "Do you know what, mate? Nah." Which suggests maybe his injury was worse than maybe previously recounted. So it does look like Alan Dell's going to join us as, wait for this, fourth choice loose head.
I think he may be, well, again, this is absolutely not a conjecture. Yep. I've not seen any confirmation, but
can deal in conjecture. It's all good.
One of the biggest, probably one of the biggest reasons for signing him is he has been doing he's done a lot of coaching roles while he's been within teams as well. So I think, obviously, I don't know if Al Dickinson's still with Glasgow.
He's one of the only coaches who survived the Glasgow experience.
Right.
So
he'll be coming up to help, I would have thought, as well as provide backup.
It seems bold though. Age 28, he's not old for a prop at all, Craig.
He really isn't.
And I mean, he looks it. He's beautiful. But age 28, like, to be thinking about potential coaching at age 28 is, you know, the guy's a British and Irish Lion. He should be really pushing on in his career.
Well, you know, maybe this is the push he needs, and maybe he isn't going to be fourth choice. Maybe he comes in as first choice. You never know.
Has he watched Glasgow and has he realised, like, I take your point, right? I think there's an argument here about, like, people are saying he's coming in as fourth choice, and I say that kind of whimsically. Like, I don't necessarily think he is. I think he has a lot of pedigree. He's obviously a Scottish international. I think he'll quickly go through the ranks, and he'll quickly usurp quite a few. Do you know what? I think he's a better player than Jamie Batty. I'm just calling that. I think Jamie Batty flatters to deceive. Whereas I think Alan Dell, you get a consistency from him. Yes, the guy can't scrummage for toffee, but...
Well, you know, I understand your points, but I actually think he has been a fairly decent scrummager. And right. Okay, I was about to say, you don't get an alliance scored for being a bad scrummager, but then again, he was one of the geographical four or five.
It was the GO6, yeah. And yeah. Actually, I would refer you back to Mako Vunipola, just as an aside, bro. You know, like, if you're talking about bad scrummagers who've toured with the Lions, you know, the guy is a Lion.
What you have to also remember is that Alan Dell has 100% scrum success in the Lions as well.
This is also true, yes. Anyway, Alan Dell is apparently coming to Scotstoun, a Scotstoun near you. So, you know, I think Danny Wilson was quoted in the press in his infamous interview where he reminded everyone, I've got a year in my contract left, boys, so don't be getting any ideas, which I'm sure his lawyer told him to say. He said that there was two really exciting signings for Glasgow still to come. Now, I'm really hoping that fourth choice Alan Dell is not one of those two, because... Well, come on. No. I was just simply saying that's not an exciting signing.
Well, you know that it is well rumoured that along with Alan Dell, he's bringing DTH Van der Merwe back over as well, and and you're gonna. It seems to be a reunion of all the Hayden players apart. Well, obviously Alan Dell's from Edinburgh, an Edinburgh boy, but yeah.
It does bring us to something I want to touch on. I'm conscious of time tonight, Craig, so we'll get on to the previews in a sec. But why can't Scotland produce props? Like, we really... So Edinburgh, I believe, have no Scots-born props in the roster.
I think they have a couple in the background coming through.
Yeah, like if you're moving to academy only.
Academy players, yeah.
Yeah. Glasgow have very few as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Fagerson and Batty. Scotland don't seem to want to produce props. What is it? You're a prop, Craig. Tell us what the solution is. What is the issue?
I don't know. I think you know, the club game. It's funny because I know of one of the under 20 props coming through, and I know him. I've known him since he was a young lad, and they seem to be putting a lot of pressure on the props to bulk up, and they're very much pushing them to go down the route of this sort of South African model for props. And that, you know, I know for a fact, for example, one of the lads that we have within the under 18s is starting to go down the Cali route, and he's been chosen because of his size, and he's going through a gym program, and it's all about putting on a fair bit of bulk. So I think it seems to be that, you know, right now they're developing these props to be these big props coming through. The big problem you have is that we've produced some fantastic props in the years back, but we don't seem to be producing them now. So it's interesting. I don't really know very much about it. I know that, for example, you know, it's quite exciting to see someone like Murphy Walker coming through, who can play both sides, and he's doing a great job. And maybe we're on the cusp of producing a couple of really, really good Scots props. But right, we have had a little bit of a dearth. Has it been that because we're importing South African props, we're not getting the chance to bring the younger ones through? I don't think so, but there is, you can level that. People level that at the SIU regularly.
People do level that argument, and I totally agree with Craig. I think, like, the benefit for me of bringing these props in is they train every single day with these young guys.
Mm.
Nobody can tell me that, you know, Rory Sutherland, even Alan Dell, guys like that haven't benefited from having to scrummage against WPNL in training.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can tell me that, because actually it's nonsense. He is, technically speaking, one of the best scrummagers I've ever seen.
He is technically
proficient, right? So scrummaging against that is absolute gold for young props. And, you know, you see it actually in the 1872, you know, when you're up against... You know, guys like Schumann, guys like Nell, and Fagerson's coming up against these guys. The benefit to his development, you know, we talk a lot about him as a prop who, you know, we want him to be kicking on, we want him to be more, we want him to be Scotland's first choice, is Scotland's first choice by a long way, but that's by default in almost some cases. To be scrummaging against Schumann is so important for his development, Because Schumann has trained with all the South African props who are the absolute pinnacle of what we're looking at in scrimmaging. There's no, you know, there's no better training for Ferguson than to be up against a guy who knows all the tricks of the trade and is going to absolutely tear him apart, knock his long-legged nonsense into touch and say, yeah, do you know what, mate, you need to sort your SHIT here, yeah, and get yourself going.
It's an interesting one because I, you know, not to go into huge depth, and I know that we're just checking on time, but, you know, one person I would have thought would be a great scrum coach is Al Dickinson, because, you know, he was well known to be one of the, you know, very, very good loose head when he was playing.
Technically proficient.
And so, you know, that's where I find the current look of the Glasgow pack, I find it very, very difficult. But also, and we're being reminded in the chat here on online, you know, we have had Lambert, we've had Murray McCallum. There's been a few players that have come through that haven't had the game time, yeah, and I think maybe you're finding that there's a lot of pressure on, especially for example Edinburgh in the Cocker's years. You know, there was a lot of pressure on because he felt that the forwards were the part of the biggest part of his game plan. So he needed to perform.
Demanded excellence of them. Yeah.
And
you know, we've talked about this on the podcast before, and we will go to the preview of the games just after this. But we've talked about the pressure on young players in professional sport to succeed.
Yeah.
And guys like Cockers, guys like that in rugby who demand things of you and demand it in a way that's not necessarily conducive to health. it's not, I think there's a sustainability that needs to come with this as well. And I think that's really important to remember. You know, these guys, you know, Murphy Walker, Murray McCallum, Tom Lambert, these guys are just young kids. They're like, compared to me and you, Craig, they are just babies. Mm. And to be getting told, like Tom Lambert has just been told, you know, he's leaving Glasgow. I don't know if he's leaving for a contract. Doesn't seem to be at the moment, which is very surprising because he's looked a prospect. To be getting told at age 22, 23 that your career's over is utterly devastating. And I think we've always had an issue at age grade with scrummaging, and I do just wonder if the pressure now to bulk up and stuff like that is going to come on, and it's because of the way props are built elsewhere. But ultimately, I think we have to be really kind to our props and kind to guys, because ultimately, you know, if you're hearing, you as a young player, right, you're starting out in your professional kind of pathway, and you're sitting there going, well, I want to be a number 10 because Finn Russell. I want to be a number 11 because of Doohan. I want to be this, I want to be that. Nobody's sitting there saying, I want to be a prop because of Xander Fagerson. But we need to have these players saying that, because actually without them, we've got no pathway.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. We've got a few coming through, and it'll be interesting that you might find that we've got some players coming through, especially, for example, we've got Murphy Walker in the under-20s. We've got a young lad called Callum Norrie coming through. It'll be interesting to see. We also have a couple of young lads. There's a young lad just gone into the under-18s called Robert Cromer, who's from Fife, who'll be interesting to watch for as well. So, yeah, we'll see how things go. And I'm trying to pad it out a little bit because John's disappeared on me for 5 minutes. So we'll just continue to look a little bit panicked and chat about other things. So also some good news is to see that where are we now? Thanks for this, John. I really appreciate you disappearing on me. I don't know where he's gone. I don't know whether he's had a run or he's had to run or what's going on here, but Anyway, I hope you're all okay and enjoying this total blank that he's given me. Thanks for this, John. I really appreciate you leaving me like that. That was just a poor old live stream. Anyone that's listening to live streams just had me panicking for 5 minutes.
It's okay. I had to go and answer the door. The guy was very insistent about the door. So apologies, boys and girls who are on the live stream. Right, we have 10 minutes left, Craig. Let's talk. I've delayed it enough. Let's talk about the weekend. We have the URC quarterfinals. Both pro teams are away from home. Edinburgh slightly more away from home, and they're off to see the Stormers. And Glasgow are away to Leinster. So let's talk about the Stormers first. Edinburgh have done their South African tour. They've done relatively well over there. Where do you have a chance, first of all, and do you fancy to get through here?
Well, it's a really interesting one. I think obviously we were at home against them the last time and we drew. They had a fair amount of their Springboks weren't involved when we drew against them because it was early in the season and the Springboks were still playing. So, obviously we're away from home. They'll have their fully loaded front row. Everything's telling you in your head that Edinburgh are going to have their hands full and it's going to be a difficult one. I actually think that we have an opportunity. We were one of the only teams to go over to South Africa and win. So we've got, I actually think we've got a better chance than a lot of people are saying that we have. And I think that it's going to be a close game. I expect it probably to be 5 points in it, something like that. They play very, very similar to Edinburgh. And Mike Blair's been quoted this week as saying that we need to ensure that we get, we get a quick start like we did the last time, but also maintain the gap if we do get a quick start. So, yeah, really interesting. We're not having to worry about altitude, etc., because I think it's in Cape Town, if I'm right. It's almost going to be like, I'm going to say this, it's almost like playing Edinburgh, but let's just say it's a little warmer. So, we'll see. I think it'll be interesting.
So, yeah, a five-point game, you're saying? I think that's probably, I don't disagree with you, Craig. I think Edinburgh have got a real opportunity to go over there. They are one of the only teams that have necessarily succeeded in South Africa, and I think Edinburgh are best placed to get with the legacy of the Cockers era, having that kind of really strong pack. They have the opportunity to go over there and nullify the bomb squad, nullify all the physical dominance that the Stormers can bring. I think your backs are better as well, for what it's worth. So you've got an opportunity, and I think if Edinburgh got ahead quite early, the crowd there's not going to be a massive crowd, but they'll be vocal, and I reckon they'll be quite quick to get on the back of the Stormers, and Edinburgh might find themselves, in a semi-final.
Well, you also have to remember that the first time we met them, we were in a very, very early stages of Blair Kinghorn experiment. Both Moyano and Buffelli were just, it was their first game, if I remember correctly. It was all kind of, James Lang wasn't playing very often. He wasn't playing very often at centre. So I think it will be. I think now that they're a little bit more comfortable in their skins and their game plans and their playing together, I think there's opportunities there. There's opportunities there.
So, what do you think of this one, Dilemma Craig, Dean or Lang?
Wow, great question. I think Chris Dean has shown himself, and I've been. Heard on this pod say a couple of times that if it was last year I wouldn't be having Chris Dean anywhere near the squad. I thought he was just a crash ball specialist, but actually he has got one of the most delicious passes on him, and where he's found this, you know, how he's been obviously empowered by Mike Blair, but
he's really surprised me as well. Actually, his pass reminds me a lot, and whisper it, he reminds me a lot of Pete Horn in his passing.
Yeah,
and yeah. Pete Horn was for me the most naturally gifted passer of a rugby ball in Scottish rugby history. And Chris Dean looks like he's obviously been watching. He probably wears Pete Horn pajamas, to be fair. I mean, don't we all, exactly right? I mean, there's no doubt that I've got some Pete Horn pajamas back there, pal. But
he's an intelligent player. He's also, you know, we forget he's got over 100 caps for Edinburgh. He's been around for a long, long time with Edinburgh, so he's knowledgeable about the squad. He's well liked within the squad. Plus we have to deal with Lang has been injured, and he's coming back from an injury. So, wow, it's a really good question because I like the Vellacott, Kinghorn Lang. Trifecta.
It's a good axis, isn't it?
It really is.
Axis to work off of.
But to be able to have, you know, for the first time in a long time, to have me sitting here having to think about who's going to play at 12 between those two players and being excited about it, that's that is quite exciting for me, you know.
And I think that's probably indicative of the growth of Edinburgh rugby this season. You know, that you're debating who is playing your second 5/8, as the Kiwis call it. But so you're saying a five point either way. Let's go the other side of the M8. Let's talk about the other guys. So Glasgow away to Leinster. Leinster having just lost the European Cup final. And Leinster, who have crushed all comers this season, and Glasgow, who have been honking on the road for many, many months. I mean, that's a Glasgow win comfortably, Craig, right?
Well, as we've discussed on the podcast before, maybe this is just Danny Wilson's plan, and he's going to scare us all with how phenomenal Glasgow are against Leinster. and he's been losing these games just to build up the suspense. All of a sudden he's going to fire the team all the way to the final and win the final. You never know.
Anyone that has to remind you how long he has on his contract is really under pressure. And I thought the press the last couple of weeks has been really telling. Like, they haven't necessarily went on the Wilson out train. Like, the press have been really reticent to go there. The last few weeks they've went there, and they've went there hard. I think like it's really telling. Like, Glasgow, and you know what, we don't have time tonight to talk about it, but we will be back next week to talk about season tickets at Glasgow. We'll be back next week to talk about all sorts of things. I think Glasgow are in a really, really bad way just now, and a lot of that comes down to the management. And whisper it, I think Al Kellock is a bit rubbish at being an executive. Just saying it, I think he's not very good.
I'm going to restrain myself on that one because I he's in a position. He's not in that position. I don't think they've put him in that position lightly. I think he's got a difficult situation where he's been. He's got financial constraints. He's inherited a coach that was kind of, you know, it was the wrong coach within the Scotland. Me personally would say it's the wrong coach within the Scotland squad who left the Scotland squad because you had a very good chance of having Dan McFarlane and they let him go.
Imagine.
I know. So I think we have to be careful with because I think Al Kellock is very good on the commercial side. It's an interesting one. Going back to the actual preview of the game, I actually think that Glasgow have beaten Leinster and have beaten Leinster, a fairly strong Leinster team. It wasn't as if it was the third squad or anything like that. It was a fairly decent squad. So I honestly, it'll be interesting if they're under the... This is where Glasgow make the metal. This is where, this is what happens. If they get put under the pump, and they decide that, you know, it's like the game, I forget which game it was, but they got put down to 14 men and won it.
It was the Scarlets a few years ago, yeah, when Alex Allen went off and 14 men after 19 minutes, and they just I've never seen ruck speed quite like that. It was utterly terrifying what they were doing.
And they have been shown by La Rochelle. Now, obviously, La Rochelle have a far, far bigger budget and a far bigger player pool, but they have been shown by La Rochelle that Leinster have the ability to be beaten. So, you know, I don't want to write off Glasgow because I'm not that sort of person, but I did put a message into our group earlier on saying after the European Cup final, saying, well, good luck, Glasgow, because you've now got a very, very pissed off Leinster.
I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that's fair. So, obviously, I am the Glasgow fan here, so I will call it. I've been saying on other podcasts, I really fear, I don't think Glasgow have got anything to offer here, and I think Leinster can pick their score.
Mm.
And I think after the European Cup final as well, I think genuinely Leinster by 40 points, I reckon they could give Glasgow an absolute scalping. And I think 40 is if Leinster stop playing. Glasgow, I've got nothing to damage Leinster now. Game plan is not there. They've got all the individual players. That's the frustration from a Glasgow fan. They've got all the individual players to hurt Leinster. Like, man for man, they can stand up to Leinster and say, you know what, we've got good players too.
Yeah.
The actual cohesion and game plan is not there, and the leadership is sadly lacking. So I really fear for Glasgow at the weekend. But it will come as no surprise to most of you who are watching tonight that actually me and Craig both quite enjoy the other team as well. And we'll be supporting Scottish rugby this weekend. So I'll be obviously cheering on Edinburgh down in Cape Town. I really, really hope you get a result. And otherwise, I'm sure you're desperate for Leinster to get their absolute plums rattled.
Well, I honestly think, it's Glasgow. It's up to Glasgow and it's up to the players of Glasgow. And I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be closer to 10 to 15 points.
Yeah.
But Glasgow have the opportunity to either be a thorn in Leinster's side this weekend or be a speed bump. And they've got to make that choice.
And I reckon the 50 miles that divide us on the MA are the difference between what part you see Glasgow playing in this. I reckon that obviously speed bumps are a very good description, and I think, you know, you've obviously got your glass half full hat on here, so yeah, let's see how Glasgow do. But yeah, fingers crossed for both teams. We are doing a shortened pod tonight, so we are just over the 45 minute window. We're just putting it out to everyone this week because Scottish football is taking precedence tonight. Yes, I know that will shock everyone. Don't shout at us, don't send angry letters. All the best to Scotland tonight against the Ukraine, and hopefully also on Sunday if things go well. You know, we are not those type of rugby fans that are like, oh, windy ball. You know, sport is sport, and we're a proud nation, and I really, really hope we do ourselves proud tonight and on Sunday. Otherwise, we will be back next week. We'll be back for a review of what could be an interesting weekend of rugby. It might also be a 10-minute review of what's going on, depending on how we go. But so thanks everyone who's joined us for this shortened pod. We'll try and give the plan is for the Patreon guys who are with us. We're conscious we're not giving you an exclusive this week, but you will get a very large exclusive quite soon, in that we will be doing the season review as an exclusive for Patreons. So look out for that. And anyone that wants to join us, you know, it's down the bottom there, patreon.com/Scottish Rugby Podcast. That's my sales pitch done for the night. It has been a pleasure, as always, Craig. So Thank you to everyone who's joined us. Good night from me and good night from the bold Craig.
Good night, all. See you later.